Welcome to the MacGuffin Men. And now, here are Alex and James.
Welcome to MacGuffin Men. I'm Alex, and with me today is not James. We've got Travis. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Alex. Hello, listeners.
Before we get started, I want to get you to check out our website, themacguffinmen.com. We put out a lot of good content in over the course of the fall and the early part of the winter. And most recently, earlier this week, James and I discussed Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Also follow us on Twitter, at themacguffinmen. Subscribe to us on iTunes, The MacGuffin Men. Give us a 5-star rating if you think we're a 5-star podcast. Tell every person you've ever met about us to give us a 5-star rating as well. And that's about it. So, Travis, composer of our theme song.
Yeah.
Film fan. Renaissance man.
Big fan of the Renaissance.
We're talking about film in 2014 today. We're just kind of going to do a bit of a year in review sort of thing. And the year is over, so let's review it. Travis, awesome. Where do we start even?
Well, we start in a month called January of 2014, yes. And we go through every movie that you and I have watched, uh-huh. And I think
in painstaking detail.
Yeah, I think in about 5 or 6 hours, you'll have a good understanding of the year, but not a moment before that.
No, definitely not that. I don't know. I don't know. I guess should we just start with favorites? Is that
yeah? Sure, a thing? Sure. Okay, just opening my thing here. Yeah, you and I were talking a little bit about this, and there's a group sometimes I talk about movies with on Facebook, and this kind of came up with one of the guys that leads that. That when you're making these best of lists, and nobody that I know you're a professional critic, but I don't know anybody else that does that, or anybody else that is a member of a union that gets screeners. Mm-hmm. I know plenty of people that get copyright notices, but other than that, it's kind of tough to tell, like, what are we considering a movie that came out in 2014. So I did what Emily, a frequent guest of the podcast, called a very communist method of devising my list, which I thought was charming.
Yeah, that's
and
quite funny.
And what I did is I did for the last 2 years I've written down every movie that I've watched. I wrote down the Wikipedia or IMDb year, because there's just a year beside it, mm-hmm. for the purposes of, I guess, posterity. Like, the actual date doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Because if something opens in 6 theaters, you know, I'm just kind of, by putting it on my list, I'm kind of just saying, hey, I got to see it. Yeah. I live in a bigger city than you.
Yeah.
So I have my best of 2014 list, and I have my best of 2013 that I saw in 2014.
Yeah, and you sent me, I am a privileged emailer in the life of Travis, and I've got a good look at that list, and it was basically my favorite movies of 2014. Of 2013. We're all on that 2013 and 2014 list.
Right. Yeah, because yeah, I don't think I really put a lot of energy into I think I clipped there. If you want to bleep that or something,
don't worry.
You just
about
assume it.
It
was a swear or something cool that I said.
We leave all the mistakes in.
Good. We're doing it live.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw All Is Lost. I saw American Hustle in January. I saw Captain Phillips in January. I, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. This year, I think I went a little bit harder in terms of trying to make an effort to see the movies that were making the critical rounds.
Yeah, and it's been a little easier this year too, because I think there's just been less interesting stuff in the latter part of the year. Like, I mean, Fincher, Nolan, and Anderson all put out new movies, but they all did it a month apart, right? Whereas last year we got a new Scorsese movie, a David O. Russell movie, and a Coen Brothers movie in the span of a week, you know? So it's just sort of, it's been easier to follow 2014 because there's been less, you know, less that's exciting.
Well, the calendar didn't feel, I mean, I haven't like laid it out in some sort of, I haven't looked at it in like a calendar format, but I feel like it's a little less crowded.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So it was kind of easier to see the things that I liked while still being able to afford to feed myself and not appear like a shut-in to my friends.
I gave up on caring about that a long time ago.
I still like you.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can be the likable shut-in.
But I have to come to you.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah. So what was on my do you want to talk about the 2014 list official, or do we want to treat it as a big list?
Let's just do the 2014.
Or are we not talking just about me?
Let's try and focus just on 2014, because I think you did kind of touch on something that that, you know, makes sense, because a lot of people, specifically something like Inherent Vice, it's a 2014 movie that has only been screened in 3 cities, as far as I know. So
it's, I think a lot of people may not get around to even seeing that one until it's like out on video or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just a thing that happens. And like, I think I mentioned this on the podcast before, like Young Adult, I saw on like January 1st of probably 2012, I guess it was, immediately after handing in for a website I used to write for, a best of list for the year, and Young Adult would have been number 2 at worst on that list. You know,
I think the last time you and I did the Roundup podcast was 2011, yeah. And I looked at that. I went back and looked at that list because I think I don't have one for 2012 because I was moving and I wasn't. Things were more up in the air then, but we did the 2011 one, and I think Young Adult's like one that really stood out for me. I don't remember if you had seen it at the time when we recorded it.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But you know, okay. Yeah. But just to go with the sort of like best of thing, because I sort of narrowed, because I know you do you like lists more than I do. I generally sort of see it like I can't decide on. Necessarily on January 1st of 2015 what the best movies of 2014 because I think they just kind of time sort of sorts it out, right? It's kind of like how I feel like the Oscar for Best Picture doesn't really matter because time is what is the true decider of what the best movie was, like Young Adult and The Adjustment Bureau. Those were the two movies that I loved the most in 2011. Are still movies that I think about a lot, right? So I try to sort of keep that in mind, and with just guessing from 2014 what I've seen, what I suspect I will still be thinking about a lot in 2015, the movies I came up with were Boyhood, Whiplash, and Inherent Vice. And I think that's about it. You know, I think those were the three movies that really, really impressed me a lot, and that I think had a lot that I enjoy thinking about and presented those things in interesting ways. And I mean, since this is such a broad topic that we're doing, I don't want to get too in depth into anything, but just in general, like those movies, I don't know, even Boyhood, like I first saw Boyhood in July, right? And it has remained in my sort of consciousness since then. You know, I'd probably think about it every couple of days still. And I think there's something to be said for that. And I feel like that's a good indicator of what ends up being one of the better movies of this year. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, the list thing for me, part of the reason that I was writing stuff down was to keep that timeline straight in my head, just for arbitrary reasons. But I think I was worried about like forgetting stuff that I had seen early in the year. And there were one or two things, like for some reason in my mind, Grand Budapest Hotel feels like it came out last year.
Yeah, exactly. Because it came out in February of this year or 2014. And it was kind of the good movies from the early part of this year were the Lego Movie and the Grand Budapest Hotel. Those are the best movies that came out before Boyhood. Like they were the only really good movies that came out before Boyhood.
You know, I'm going to fight you on that one. You know, there was one that came out in March.
What was it? Oh, Noah.
It was Noah.
Yeah, no, I like actually Noah is a good example. I like Noah a lot, and I do think about Noah more frequently than I think most people would guess. You know, it's a really interesting movie. Incredibly interesting movie.
Yeah. I've mentioned that I really liked it to people that kind of had, I think, written it off as like a Jerry Bruckheimer type movie.
Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that would have written it off as like religious stuff, like atheist.
Yeah.
Like my roommate's an atheist and would have no interest in seeing it because of it, you know, just because it kind of deals with God, even though I think it's
I think he would like that, though. I think
exactly.
He would like this movie. Like, it's so...
It's an atheistic movie, I think.
The broadest... The most accurate thing that I could say about Noah was, like, it made really interesting and fucked up choices. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think that, I don't think anybody would have structured it that way. I don't think anybody would have included, spoilers, rock monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Giant rock transformers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Frank Langella was awesome in that, by the way. Mm-hmm. And those weird, like Lion King sort of silhouette shots.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with like this bizarre time lapse, like there was a lot of interesting photography.
The creation thing sequence is just unbelievable. That and that sequence and the flood action scene, everything that leads up to the flood, it was just such amazing filmmaking. You know,
if you were to show me the flood sequence, where they're all, you know, getting on the boat and people are dying and it's like, it's really violent. And then also showed me the creation sequence and the silhouette scenes. They don't feel like they're part of the same movie.
No, no, like, not at all.
It doesn't.
And it is kind of a messy movie. I'm not going to try and talk around that, but,
I love messy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm into that lately.
Yeah. I find that if there's a good filmmaker that makes a messy movie, it might not necessarily be, you know, great the whole way through, but there will be moments of greatness. And over time, you'll kind of forget the moments you don't like as much. Like most movies that I really, truly love have a moment or two that I just wish was not a part of it. Like Whiplash, when a character bleeds on his drum kit. I think that's weird and kind of silly. But I think I will eventually forget about that, you know, and mm-hmm. the rest of the movie.
And like when you go to rewatch it in a couple of years, you'll be like, oh, I completely forgot about that. Well, that's so like it won't live on in your memory, that particular part.
Yeah. Well, and I remember when Social Network's a good example of this. I thought there are a couple of visual metaphors towards the end of that movie that really annoyed me when I first saw the movie where Eduardo's girlfriend burns the scarf and throws it in the garbage can.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like his job is caught fire. Everything, I mean, his world is burning down around him. I hated that when I first saw it. I could not care less about it. You know, like at this point, like it's the tiniest moment and it's great, you know? And even the other thing that bothered me at the time was the lights turning off behind Zuckerberg towards the end. As he realizes like the innocence period is over, these lights get turned off in the Facebook office behind him. And I hated that at the time. And now I think it's kind of a nice touch. You know, I like, you know, sometimes just greatness will turn shitty things into things that you're okay with. You know, and Noah had some great elements. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are going to be a lot of scenes from Noah that just like they burned into my mind. That was one of the, it was in March. I took a vacation day because I hadn't done that in a while.
Yeah.
And Noah was a total gamble for me because I hadn't heard anything about it. And I went and I was completely satisfied with that movie.
Yeah.
I was really happy with it.
Yeah. And Noah kind of fits into that category that I love so much where talented director has some sort of weird carte blanche and you're like, because after Black Swan, Derek was the most success Darren Aronofsky ever had. And he transitioned that into Noah. And that's always where I find you'll typically get a more messy movie from the auteur because they're kind of in the place where they can take chances. And even if it's a bad movie, like I don't like Wes Anderson's version of that is The Life Aquatic, which is a movie I know we disagree on.
Do we still disagree on it?
I'm not a big fan. I thought you liked it a lot, right?
No, I am a huge fan. I think maybe you're wrong.
Yeah, well, I might be. I doubt it. like The Life Aquatic is a good example of that. It's something that's so watchable just because he's coming off the Royal Tenenbaums and can do what he wants, right? And pretty much every director that's really talented that has at least one success has an example of this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year, just taking a glance, messy, if we're talking about messy movies, another one that I know we disagree on mm-hmm. is Birdman.
Oh yeah.
I liked it.
You liked it a lot?
Yeah. I did really like it. I trailed off earlier when I didn't explain my system for generating the list,
mm-hmm.
Which is really more just to make put flags beside movies that I liked. So I categorized every movie between 1 and 3, 1 being bad, 2 being boring, and 3 being enjoyable. Okay. So like my list has genre movies. My list has stuff that I'm probably going to forget about in a year.
Yeah. Like I saw you had Fury on your list as a 3, I think, or was it just something that you were surprised by? You're going to forget Fury, you know?
I don't know. Fury had some strong imagery. I think I was surprised by it. I thought it was going to be really boring, like award season type thing. Like it looked sort of Saving Private Ryan-y, but and Brad Pitt is just kind of doing his Brad Pitt thing. Shy was good. Shane from The Walking Dead was really good.
That's John Barenthal or something. That's his name.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just a good actor. He was really good in Snitch. And I always find like an actor that gives a really good performance in a movie that's not so good. That always makes me like them way more.
So when he left The Walking Dead with Frank Darabont, they were going to do a thing together. They were going to do like LA Noir?
Mob City, I think. That happened. That existed.
That happened?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Okay. Well,
I don't think it exists anymore.
Take that one offline, as they say in the professional world.
But yeah. Sorry. Messy
movies. Okay. Yeah. So Birdman, liked it. It felt kind of like a play. Like it was one of those movies where it was a lot of scenes with two people, and it was entirely about just these different perspectives butting up against one another. And I feel like it was pretty fair to two different sides.
Gorgeous movie too. And Edward Norton was really great in it.
Yeah, he was. I thought Michael Keaton was really good. Maybe that's a little bit of an obvious comment, but it felt like, and it didn't feel personal in that way that I read some reviews where people were saying that like because he was Batman, that this was somehow like a story that he was like really invested in, or that like these were feelings that he had, but it just like that character completely contradicted everything that I've ever heard him say about Batman. That doesn't feel like those don't feel like those are huge conflicted feelings that he's had. He seems pretty at peace with that, and he walked away when he wanted to, and it seems like like he and Tim Burton seem like they don't care about Batman, which is awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And those movies are super weird too. I recommend going back and watching all of them.
I've never been a big fan of them.
I know. Is that why you have me back on this, so that I can just disagree with
you? Every once in a while I just need to remind you that I do not like the Tim Burton Batmans.
No, I mean like you need like a foil,
Schumacher
like a
for life. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah, no, not at all. But
Oh, did I tell you that? I have good news. Mm-hmm. A friend at work convinced Amanda to watch Gone Girl. So I will be watching that again soon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which I am greatly looking forward to because I really liked it.
Yeah, enjoy watching that with your significant other.
It's fine. Yeah, it'll be fine. Right. It'll be fine.
Okay.
I really liked Gone Girl. I don't know. You're the Fincher expert, and I'm sure that you've like done this to death on the podcast. Yeah. But what do you think about it?
Yeah, no, I like Gone Girl quite a bit. It's if you want to talk messy movies, it's incredibly messy.
Keeping with the theme here.
The good parts far outweigh the bad. There are just kind of a couple of things, and specifically things that worry me about Fincher going forward. Like it was a little too voicey, I found. And coming off The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which was also too voicey. I'm a little concerned that Fincher is going to put himself like, and his very strong sarcastic leanings, as more important than the film which, you know, I think works in something like Gone Girl. I'm worried we're getting close to something that where it won't work, you know. But
Do you feel like it compromised the material in some way, or like
I don't think so. It just sort of like it was just kind of that thing where sometimes there's you know, something that doesn't totally work and detracts from the movie a little bit. There were a couple moments like that in Gone Girl that I can't think of off the top of my head. Probably just like jokes that Nick makes when he's talking to Margot. Yeah, whereas in The Social Network, they were all funny, and some of these were just like kind of eye rollers, you know? And that worries me going forward. But he's still a master technician, and the way Nick's face is lit throughout that movie, I think, is just... is so incredible.
The way that Nick's face is lit.
Like his face is always lit in darkness. Like the light is always coming from behind him, and that's sort of meant to show how he doesn't really know what's going on. And other characters are lit properly, and Ben Affleck's face just all throughout the movie is in darkness, except for scenes where he knows more than the person that he's in the room with, or in scenes where he feels comfortable in the situation, where he's lit properly. It's really fascinating, and that's the big Fincher thing that he did in this movie that I really loved.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will keep an eye out for that next time.
I would recommend it.
Good. Another messy movie that I didn't see on a lot of people's lists was Frank.
Yeah, we both liked Frank. I saw it. I saw it actually like 8 months ago. So
it was from a while back. Yeah,
yeah. My memory might be a little shoddy on it, but yeah, it was good. It was very funny.
That trailer was really misleading.
I don't think I ever saw the trailer, to be honest.
It's super weird. It's like it plays it like a screwball comedy,
mm-hmm.
and
I mean the first half is very funny.
It is funny, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like jokes funny. Mm-hmm. Like with the exception of that main character, and I think it's kind of deliberate that he's supposed to be like your average internet person, or
yeah,
like,
oh definitely,
and I. But once he starts interacting with other people, like Frank himself has never really played like a joke. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know halfway through that it was going to be like, oh, it's like a Daniel Johnson type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was awesome. Maggie Gyllenhaal was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny and sweet. And I think... his parents say something near the end that I want to say stuck with me, but I'm forgetting.
Yeah. I think that scene kind of is just about a conversation where, whatever the main character that's not named Frank is, sort of finds out that it's not like some, I don't know, he's just mentally ill. It's not his genius that makes him do all these things, you know, his, you know, alleged genius. It's his, I don't know. It's the fact that he's got mental issues, you know. And
well, they almost kind of imply that like he would be able to more fully realize his talent if not for
yes.
this thing. Like this is not a thing that is like his suffering is not making his art better. His suffering is just making his life worse, mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting. I thought that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anybody that liked The Devil and Daniel Johnson should see Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Inherent Vice, also messy.
Inherent Vice is quite messy, but I think the messiness is more of a part of the plot than a lot of the things we've discussed. Because I think the whole idea is that, I mean, it's just sort of, it's a very... PTA sort of thing where it's just all of this chaos that you find out is kind of linked, you know, and that's one of the things that is important to Inherent Vice and kind of allows the mess to work.
Yeah. Semi-unrelated, I want to say that girl making pizza at the house is the new kid with firecrackers in Boogie
Nights. Yeah, I think that's
just
that's
like fair. Couldn't take my eyes off of that girl throwing around just such a small amount of dough, and then she carries it off in a pan like she's somehow going to make a piece of pizza out of, or a pizza out of this tattered piece of food.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good pizza toppings in that film. Like there's in that first scene with Joanna Newsom where she's actually on screen and he's just talking to Doc, and there's like mushrooms and stuff on that pizza. It's very funny.
Yeah, I only saw it once. I don't have a ton to say about it, but... Man,
well, very few people like listening to this will have seen it by now. So, and
yeah,
James and I will eventually.
You're no friend of ours if you haven't seen it.
I mean, I've told a few people that. So, Yeah, I lose friends every time a PTA movie comes out now.
Oh, I thought you were going to say every time you do a podcast.
Well, also that. I started with a lot of friends. I'm down to like you and James.
That's about it. Yeah, okay. So messy. What else was messy? I think Interstellar was maybe a little messy.
Oh, Interstellar's very messy. But I think it's sort of the it's the thing, like, with time, I'm going to
remember only the good parts.
Yeah, I'm going to forget all the conversations about love because I'll remember the things that I found interesting, like the scene where, like, I mean, the use of time as kind of the villain and as a motif throughout the movie, just with their spinning spaceship, and the honesty setting, I still think about that pretty frequently. Just
Tars movie. Tars, we gotta have a Tars movie.
I don't.
When's Marvel gonna announce my 10 Tars movies?
They probably just did while we were recording this. They're all scheduled. They're all coming out a month after each other.
I knew I should have been on Twitter instead of on this goddamn thing.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I think Interstellar is definitely messy, but the good parts are very good, and I still find myself thinking about it, even though it's been about a month since I last saw it. Yeah, so I just don't think about the parts that I hate it. Which there are a handful. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. last messy movie. Mm-hmm. They Came Together.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was
and messy by design. Like it's a
sketch movie,
right?
It's a sketch comedy movie.
If you like sketch movies from those people, watch it. I feel like it didn't get a ton of attention when it came out.
No, I mean it was mostly VOD anyway, and I don't think it deserved that much more attention than it got. I thought it was fine. I thought the idea of Max Greenfeld playing Paul Rudd's younger brother was particularly inspired. That's exactly who his younger brother should be all the time. And the Michael Shannon cameo was tremendous.
Oh, you said it.
Yeah, of course.
It
was unbelievable.
I thought you were going to keep that one under wraps.
No, it's far and away the best part of the movie. And okay. It's kind of those.
I agree with you. I just didn't think you were going to spoil it. But then I realized that kind of contradicts our normal spoiler policy, which is spoil everything.
Well, and also at this point, people that are gonna see They Came Together probably did. You know, it's been out since July. It's been very accessible.
Fair enough.
Yeah, people have either seen it or forgot to see it by now. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So, and aren't gonna get around to it because Inherent Vice is out now.
That's true. That's true. Did you see Force Majeure?
I did not, no.
Okay, you should. You should. Yep. It's really good. Mm-hmm. So they bought, I'm stealing somebody else's joke here. They bought the rights to the scene in Seinfeld where George shoves kids aside screaming fire, fire at that birthday party.
Okay.
No, it's really good. It's really funny. It's about wanting, and I'm again stealing this from somewhere else, wanting to seem like a good person in front of other people and that kind of unraveling. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous because it's all set at a ski resort. Very well photographed.
Yeah.
Highly, highly recommend it.
Cool. I'll keep it in mind. You're not the first person to recommend it to me. So.
And I think another movie that you haven't seen yet, Clouds of Silmaria.
Yeah, I haven't. It's on the list.
Thematically similar to Birdman.
Okay.
They touch on a lot of the same things, except this one has Kristen Stewart.
I like Kristen Stewart. I think she's generally underrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's in a lot of bad movies, but is a good actress, I think.
I heard someone say that they had a theory that all of the Twilight actors are actually really great actors. Mm-hmm. We just like haven't seen it all yet.
I haven't seen Robert Pattinson be good in anything. Nor Taylor Lautner.
Like Cosmopolis?
I hated Cosmopolis.
What was the other one?
Absolutely hated it.
Was in recently?
He's in Maps to the Stars, the new Cronenberg movie.
Oh,
I do want to see, despite the fact that I know I very rarely like Cronenberg movies. I'm not a good Canadian, it seems.
give me a call when you go see that. You just heard it here, folks. Some
plans are being made.
Plans to go see a movie.
Yeah,
shocking.
So another movie you said you liked is The Rover.
Yeah. Also featuring Robert Pattinson.
He's terrible in that movie.
You think so?
Oh, I thought he was awful. And I think his performance got good reviews or something. But that was the my main takeaway from The Rover was that that could have been a good movie if Robert Pattinson was not playing that role.
Really?
He was terrible.
It didn't bother me or anything like that. It didn't feel like it added a ton, but it didn't really bother me. I liked Guy Pearce in it a lot.
Yeah. He's good in everything.
And yeah. I mean, it seemed sort of like The Road.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less bleak, although my memory of the movie is fairly hazy.
It could be either less or more bleak somehow. I don't even, because both of those movies are very bleak. Yeah.
It seemed more violent. Yes.
I think that's true.
It was one of those there wasn't like a big event that caused the apocalypse or something like that. It was more of things just got so bad that this is sort of society crumbled.
Yeah.
And people got a little more violent. Mm-hmm. Cruel, which I thought was kind of important.
Yeah, it was just a nice little apocalyptic Western, basically.
Yeah, I like that. And I found this year that I kind of liked more. I'm starting to like leaner movies, like something really short like that that has like a really contained scope.
Yeah.
I'm starting to gravitate towards that.
Mm-hmm.
An example of the opposite of that is another apocalyptic movie, The Young Ones, just Young Ones.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that. That's the Michael Shannon one, right?
Yeah, I was going to say featuring a good favorite, Michael Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
If that's okay, can we endorse him? Can we endorse Michael Shannon on the podcast?
100%. Okay. I am on record as being very pro Michael Shannon as far back as Bad Boys 2 and Kangaroo Jack.
Okay. So you didn't see Young Ones?
I didn't, no. But I can assure you that I will.
You should. I don't think it's going to surprise you in any huge way, but like, it's really pretty. The actors are all pretty good, and it's another sort of multi-generational story. Families have fallen on hard times in an unforgiving world.
Yeah.
It's great. It's
cool.
It's super.
I like Westerns and I like apocalyptic Westerns because it's basically the same thing just with slightly more technology, but it's all breaking down anyway.
So. Yeah. I kept thinking of Fallout New Vegas, the game,
mm-hmm.
because it has sort of similar, it's a similar type of apocalypse, I think.
Okay.
It's a desert. The main dispute at the beginning is over water. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm forgetting some other character actors that are in it, but if you're listening to this on your phone, listener, take a look at the old IMDb and, or just watch it.
Yeah. Well, the kid from The Road is in it. I forget his name. Cody Smith McPhee, I think. I liked him a lot in The Road and have liked his output since then. He was good in the, what was the Swedish horror movie? The Swedish vampire movie that got remade with Chloe Moretz.
Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let Me In. He was very good in that. Yeah.
Let Me In is the American one. Let the Right One In is the Swedish one.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Go back and watch those.
Yeah. They're both
or
good.
One of them at least.
They're both good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Other sort of. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean
so,
to interrupt you.
If you had to pick sort of like a favorite type of comedy for the year, what are you going with?
Favorite type of
comedy. Or not type, but the favorite comedy.
Oh, a favorite comedy. Are you saying because we've been comedy disinclusive?
Yeah, and
They Came Together is not my favorite comedy. I don't have a lot of them on here.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I liked 22 Jump Street.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Dear White People.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Dear White People was probably the funniest movie that I saw this year.
Gotcha. I still have yet to see it, but will
it's
as well.
Really, it's really good, and it's got a really distinct aesthetic. That probably sounded really like codedly racist, but that wasn't my intention. I mean, like it's a really pretty movie to look at. It's really smart, and it's another very misleading trailer. Like the trailer kind of plays it like it's going to be a wacky comedy, but it's about systematic racism among, I guess, I want to say millennials, maybe.
Yeah.
In an Ivy League school, all the performances are great. Mm-hmm. The jokes are good. I don't want to say it reminded me of Do the Right Thing, but it has sort of some similar accents. Yeah, go see it. Go see it. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it's in my top five. If I had to make a five, but I won't drag you through that exercise. Because then we'll get.
Well, I technically listed as top three. So.
You did, but I mean, you own this podcast, and I don't want to assume similar privileges.
Fair enough.
And for time. Yeah. Also, good year for action movies. I thought pretty happy with John Wick.
Yeah,
and pretty happy with the Raid 2.
Oh yeah, the Raid 2. Man, that car chase at the end of the Raid 2, it's amazing. I could not believe it.
I gotta watch it again. It's like I don't think I was expecting it to be huge.
Yeah.
In that way, I didn't think that they would just be making like the polar opposite type of movie. Mm-hmm. But it was super cool. Like it didn't feel like they were just leading up to the fights, which, you know, no offense to the fights, they were awesome, but yeah. it felt like a whole thing.
Yeah, they tried things. I still didn't care that much about the plot. I mean, it's really well shot sort of movie all throughout, but I don't know, I felt I didn't care too much about the writing. Yeah, it was still pretty rote action movie stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But like definitely well crafted and and something worth seeing, and you know.
Nobody likes a good face kick more than me, so I appreciate when I get an opportunity to watch one of those.
Good. Yeah. What? Just one. You need one for the day.
It's hard to get more than that, man. It gets a little too intense.
People's faces seem to be able to take fewer kicks these days.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but
it's evolution.
It could be dietary.
Yep. We're all leaner now. Most people are stopping to eat gluten, and that makes your face stronger. Scientific fact. More kicks, more face kicks.
We're leaner, less gluten, physically leaner, liking leaner action movies. Yep. Just want to see some faces kicked, and speaking of face kicks, although more headshot, I guess. Yep. John Wick,
yeah.
He lives in a marvelous comic book parallel universe that's populated by all of your favorite character actors.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And if you don't like Paul Greengrass movies, you will like John Wick.
If you don't like Paul Greengrass movies?
Or not Paul Greengrass. The Bourne guy.
Greengrass.
Greengrass.
Are you gonna besmirch?
Is this the same Paul?
Yeah. Are you gonna besmirch the name of Greengrass?
Smirching, and I'm doing people who have different. No, I like these. We've talked about this. But there are people that don't.
Here's the thing. I've got problems with handheld cinematography a lot of times, but the thing is Paul Greengrass does it right. Like, he does it well, and you can tell what's happening. It's everybody else that imitates him and is terrible at it.
I'll agree with you on that.
Okay.
John Wick is not at all like that.
No.
John Wick, I think John Wick used the locations better than most action movies recently, except for maybe like Pain and Gain, if you can count that as an action movie, or like
Pain and Gain is a separate genre,
or Fast Five, which you finally got me to watch, which was wonderful.
Yeah, because it's awesome. Yeah, Fast Five, they're big on using the geography of the scene in that movie, and that's something that cannot be understated as important to action scenes, is understanding the physical geography of the area that the scene exists within. And John Wick very much understands that if you set up a space and then play around with things that people already know exist, then that makes the scene much more entertaining than just, oh, now that I guess this room has a side door, you know, that we're now going through. Like the nightclub, the nightclub sequence in John Wick is the best example of that, because there's a lot of setup for being in that nightclub, and or there's some at least, and you kind of don't get exposed to any new areas. You see the area and then you see the sequence happen within it.
I'm remembering it kind of vaguely, but I think I remember that using the lighting in the nightclub pretty interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you always knew where people were, who was participating in the fight, who was running away from the fight, where they start, where they're going, and where they end up. And it was simple and like dumb in the best way. And I really dug it.
Yep. I enjoyed it as well. That was quite good.
Yeah. 2014. Another, I don't know why I yelled out 2014 like a hype man or something. Casey, what do they call it on radio when you like remind the listeners what station they're listening to?
Oh yeah. Like in the middle of an interview, it's like, this is still Ira Glass talking to Bill Murray about St. Vincent. Yeah. And then they just continue on.
Yeah. That was a good NPR. He would be talking about St. Vincent to Bill Murray.
It would be Terry Gross talking to Bill Murray. I think that's who they'd give that one to. I don't think Ira Glass does any live sort of interviews. St. Vincent's, whatever. Don't rush. Don't even see it. It's not worth it.
Should I watch it before tonight's Person of Interest?
Yeah, I mean, sure. It's probably
a
good
lead. You would love it if you watch it. I would love it.
Sure. You know what? I'll just let you win.
you thought you could invite me on this podcast without getting in any fights, and you're wrong every time.
That's fair. Yeah. Okay. So what else did you really love from this year that we have yet to discuss?
Guests.
Oh yeah, the guest. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either.
The guest feels like a lost John Carpenter movie from his best period. Starring a Tom Cruise Terminator.
Okay.
You said
Tom Cruise, great. So I'm in.
It's not starring Tom Cruise.
No, I know.
The guy from Downton Abbey. Right.
If he's successfully pulling off a Cruise impression, though, I'm into it.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close to like smarmy, like mean, like there's something scary going on underneath, which by the end comes to the surface.
Yeah.
Great looking movie.
Cool.
Really recommend it. I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry. Why do you keep inviting me back on? The guest was good. Blue Ruin. I think that was this year.
Yep.
It
might have done some festivals in 2013, but for our purposes, it's a 2014 movie.
Yeah. I'd like to lock. Did you see that yet?
Yeah. I saw it many months ago, and it was
so
in
good.
The cinemas, Travis. I thought it was all right. I wasn't crazy about it.
If it had been like 10 minutes longer, I think it would have been not good, but I was happy they kept it at like, it was 85 or something like that.
Yeah. I just sort of felt like I like that style of movie. I just didn't think it was that interesting. Like that sort of setup, great, I'm into it. Like guy just in the car making phone calls. I thought that was really, really just sort of an interesting setup. And I tend to gravitate towards movies that have that sort of intriguing, sort of unique setup. I just didn't think it did the best that it could with it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who wrote and directed that movie?
Was it the guy that did Buried?
I'm not sure. But he definitely created Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
So what?
That is a true fact. Writer and director of Locke, creator of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Phone a Friend, the movie.
yeah, basically. But
my initial joke about that was that it was Bluetooth, the movie.
Ah, yes.
I liked it. I kind of want Tom Hardy to call me and like tell me everything is going to be okay.
If I ever meet him, I'll try and make that happen.
Please do. You've so far fulfilled none of my celebrity requests, even though you see celebrities and
I've never been near Tom Hardy, so I've never been had the opportunity to pull that one off for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Short term 12.
That was a 2013 movie. Get that shit
only,
out of here.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
I didn't see that.
Well, do you like Jim Jarmusch?
I do like a good Jarmusch. It's
pretty Jarmusch-y.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, like, look at who's in it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting what you'll get what you pay for.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your other favorites that we've not really discussed? Is there anything like that you loved that we have not touched on?
I think we've talked about everything that I loved. Mm-hmm. The only other things are just stuff that I liked. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like you're trying to push me towards a specific thing that you saw on the list.
No, I'm just curious. Because I do feel like we have talked about a lot, but if there was something that we have missed, because I think we've talked about all the things that I was really passionate about.
Housebound was really good. If you like sort of mid-80s, I'm reluctant to say horror comedy, but like a comedy more in like the Sam Raimi type way. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. It starts out like a haunted house movie, but you don't really know what genre it's going to end up mm-hmm. being, and not in like a gimmicky way. Like it all feels very natural. Mm-hmm. And the actress in it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Whose name escapes me. The Purge Anarchy was one of my favorite superhero movies of the year.
Okay. you just love Frank Grillo. That's his
I do
that,
like
right?
Frank Grillo. Yeah. Yeah. I got two Frank Grillo movies on my list. I got the old Captain America too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
do you want to talk about superhero movies now? I'm less on that train now since the since
yeah.
The
no,
last
I know.
Podcast.
We tend to have some sort of email exchange pretty much every time a new superhero movie comes out, and just I feel like if we were to go through our Gmail history and just look at the conversations over the years, they get progressively more depressed.
It's like, yeah, you get an email from me at 3 a.m. rewatching like
Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2. That's
no, that one's actually good. I was gonna say like me emailing you and being like, this isn't very good.
Oh yeah,
or, when like you, how much it's become, how much we hate things.
Yeah,
like,
well, when you
watch Man of Guardians,
when you sent me an email or whatever saying you were rewatching Man of Steel, I just about fell out of my chair. I was like, why are you subjecting yourself to this?
Yeah, it wasn't good again.
I bet it wasn't.
it did have a Kevin Costner in it, which was good, but ultimately confusing.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, his death scene was profoundly confusing. let's not talk about that. That's a 2013 movie. We're past that. The Captain America was good. I liked Captain America a lot. It just sort of had the problem of that every Marvel movie has, in that it did a lot of interesting things, but then refused to end, and like refused to sort of put an ending on these things. Like, I enjoyed the idea of the drone strike. Is targeted killing okay in any situation?
Yeah, but they found the bad guys, so it's like, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But and then the fact where you're getting, where you should get this 10-minute resolution after the big action sequence, which all of which I did enjoy. They were too busy like sending Bucky out on the Motorcycle Diaries, you know, and setting up next movie.
I would have been fine with more Bucky. I'm rereading the comics that those were based on, and like they're pretty similar, but they're like, they're comic book villains. Like the Red Skull is a villain in that particular arc, and is so cartoonish. But the writer kind of embraces that, and it's just like, yeah, every once in a while he'll like talk kind of to drive the plot forward. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that about the first one, where like, yeah, the villains are cartoons. Mm-hmm. Like the Marvel movies where they're not cartoons, except for Loki, they kind of don't really work super well.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I've said this about it. I think Captain America, the first one, is probably the best Marvel movie simply because it's the weirdest, you know, and they do a lot of weird things in that movie.
Oh man, Tommy Lee Jones in that steak.
Fuck. Tommy Lee Jones co-starring with any inanimate object is great. Make it a steak, and I think that's the peak. It's peak TLJ.
I'm gonna watch the first episode of Agent Carter tonight.
Yeah.
And I read something where it was like, yeah, it opens from a scene from Captain America, the First Avenger. I'm like, oh, A, that came out in like 2011. B, is it the steak scene? Is it that whole scene at the beginning? And then they're like, Agent Carter titles.
Yeah. Who knows? You mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, which is one of the other big ones. Neither of us liked.
I wanted to like it.
I want to like everything. It was just a terrible movie. Like I know I've told you about this when I was watching it. And James and I completely disagree about this movie, but I was legitimately confused by what was happening around me when I was in the theater watching that movie.
What do you mean, like people's reactions?
People seem to really love that movie, and I couldn't understand. Like the direction was terrible. It wasn't that funny. Like there were some parts, of course, that were funny, but it was mostly just a messy pile of garbage, and not like the good type of mess that we were discussing. Because I don't think James Gunn has any talent at all. And
that's fired. You didn't like Slither?
You know, I didn't see Slither. That wouldn't be something I would see.
That's true. That is not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. But from the James Gunn that I have experienced, it is not. It's not good. And
what James Gunn have you experienced? I'm curious.
I think he wrote the Scooby-Doo films.
That I was not aware of.
Anyway, tell me about Guardians of the Galaxy while I look up what else he's done.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like there was like a lot of stuff tacked on. There was stuff that I did like, but then I was kind of just confused in a way that I'm kind of losing patience for.
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal with Gamora and her sister, the blue one? What is Thanos? Thanos isn't the bad guy, but they've been building him up since, like, I don't know, when the hell did he first appear? Since the Avengers, I didn't really know what his role was supposed to be. Lee Pace, the hammer dude. I'm usually the one that knows these things. Ronan the Accuser. I feel like we could have known a little bit more about him. Mm-hmm. Ronan's actually kind of, I read somebody talking about Ronan from the comics, and it's sort of interesting because it's, he's supposed to represent, how did he put it? If the Avengers or whatever go into space and they encounter him, he is a killer in the comics, but he's a state sanctioned mm-hmm. killer. Like he's like a judge.
He's sort Judge Dredd.
Yeah, he's sort of Judge Dredd, but he's supposed to represent like them having to reckon with a legally sanctioned foreign power that they don't morally agree with, mm-hmm. which I think is an interesting idea, but they completely didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I could have used more Benicio del Toro, but it seemed like that was kind of like, I didn't really understand what his deal was.
I don't either. But every movie could use more Benicio del Toro, just as a general rule.
What was that line in Inherent Vice? A lot of crime on the high seas.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be in way more of Inherent Vice. I'd seen him, like, he was in a bunch of the trailer, but that's like all of his scenes.
Yeah. No, there was not a lot of Benicio in that movie.
Just has nothing to do. Yeah. The end of it, I didn't really understand that. Like, so Groot dies and Rocket is really sad, which fine. But then he kind of just comes back and it's like no big deal.
But he's
like,
a dancing plant now, so it's adorable and barf.
But like, no. Like, Rocket is holding a plant. And at the end, and there's no explanation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need an explanation, but I need an emotional pivot from him being sad to him being relieved that he's regrowing his friend. Mm. Like, why be sad if you know that that's a thing? Or like, when did you discover that he could come back? Like, it made a couple weird leaps. That end scene, I can't help but think of that end scene when they're all holding onto the gem, and it's just kind of filmed it felt really flat.
It's
them and just like purple smoke, and I was like, you could have done something sort of interesting there, but
yeah,
I don't know. It was like, it was fine. It wasn't the worst Marvel movie.
It absolutely was. What's worse? I hated Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
and
so
I've
you're on like the warpath for it.
I don't hate a lot of movies. I hated two movies this year, I think, is what I'm. Oh, three.
What are your three? What are your three? What's your hate list? What's on your slam blog? That's.
Well, it's just Guardians of the Galaxy, really hated. The Expendables 3, really hated. And Chef, I really hated.
Oh, Chef. I couldn't watch Chef after speaking of Marvel movies.
Yeah. Yeah. At least Iron Man 2 had a couple good moments. That's than any of those movies.
The Iron Man movies are all moments.
That's fine.
There's no unifying thing there.
What I'm saying is that I just didn't hate them. That's exactly what those movies are designed to be. They're like the path of least resistance to getting your money. You know.
You know what I did see? I saw Cowboys and Aliens, and that made me think, he made Chef to like complain about this, or like complain about this on Iron. Like, what has he made that he's this like? That he's got studios like keeping him down, or like that he doesn't like the creative process. Like he quit the Iron Man franchise and wanted to work on more personal stories. And then a month later he was working on Tomorrowland, the Disney movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand that guy.
That's fine. I mean, Swingers is a very good movie and he wrote that. So got respect for him for that.
That I feel like that might be it though.
That's fine. That's more than most people. It's more than James Gunn. The only superhero movie we haven't talked about that I liked, and I think you liked less than me, but I still liked it, is X-Men Days of Future Past, which I was a fan of because it is a movie that builds to the decision to not murder somebody, and I always like a big action movie that ends up being about pacifism.
It's sort of like the opposite of Star Trek movie, Darkness.
Yeah. There were elements of
the whole
that.
Thing around nonviolence, and they only solved problems with violence at the end.
But it was punching. It was a tame violence.
it was wailing on a guy.
Yeah, just a lot of Spock punch.
Yeah. I don't know. X-Men was like, it was kind of fine. I think my hopes were a little high because I was like, Bryan Singer's coming back. X-Men 2 was really good, and
another movie that used geography in its action sequences really well. As X-Men.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Singer's very good at that.
And I really liked parts of Days of Future Past. I think my main problem was that it felt like we missed a movie in between. Like this felt like the third movie between, like there was another movie between this and First Class about the kids that we didn't get to see. Mm-hmm. Like I started not enjoying it. Or enjoying it less when they were like, look, it's the cast of the previous movie in these folders. They're dead. Here are pictures of them. They're dead.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I liked First Class, but I didn't care if I ever saw those characters again. You know? I was fine with that.
I want a movie about the school, I guess. I want to see the kids interact. Like the scene in First Class when they're giving each other code names is the closest to like an X-Men movie that I want that I think we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I don't enjoy The Adventures of Wolverine part however many. We've gone through all these things. I feel like we've done most of that. And I think Michael Fassbender was maybe a little better in First Class.
Oh yeah,
so they gave him a little bit more to do.
Yeah, they gave him more to do.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it as much as Cap, but I liked it more than Guardians.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. Anything else that we have missed in 2014 in review?
I watched a lot of movies. I watched a lot of older movies. I watched some bad movies. Mm-hmm. I watched I Frankenstein. Don't watch it.
I would never think to watch that movie.
I watched two productions of WWE Studios this year. I found out Leprechaun Origins, mm-hmm. which I thought would be funny, but ended up just being boring. And Oculus, which was about, I think it's Karen Gillan, and she, the villain is a mirror, which wasn't bad.
Okay.
It was like fine, but I was really surprised to find out it was by WWE Studios. Mm-hmm. Kevin Costner playing a dad and Jack Ryan shadow recruit.
Yep.
Love that. Think the CIA should give a Kevin Costner dad to every new agent. Really was excited about Zero Theorem, mm-hmm. but... ultimately, it kind of felt like a more boring remake of Brazil, or not a remake, but like it was a lot of the same things. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted something different. My most hated movie this year was Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yes, I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's not. Don't. It's bad.
Yeah,
it's
I didn't. Bad. It didn't look good. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a knee. Not gonna see this one.
I pictured
so I just went like I went to a movie theater and just like went down on one knee for about 2 hours.
Just why like, 2 hours? Just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. Just
buy just 10 minutes.
10 minutes, and then go see something else.
Oh, okay. We're I guess done. that makes more logical sense now that I think about it. I wish you had told me this back in June when I spent 2 hours on one knee in the Carlton Cinema lobby. yeah. Anyway, I thank you for joining us today, Travis. I hope you felt your year of movie watching was good enough, you know? And
no, it was great. Yeah. It was really great. I look forward to 2015. I'm looking forward to that more than you are probably looking forward to editing this.
Yeah. I hate editing. It's my least favorite part of my job anyway. But we'll see if this gets edited out or not. Live in suspense, Travis.
Leave it all in.
So yeah, thank you again for joining us. And to the listeners, be sure to check back next week when James and I will be back talking about whatever it is we decide to talk about. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to The MacGuffin Men. Be sure to check out themacguffinmen.com for supplementary links, articles, and more. Thanks for listening.